Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the quarterly All Employment Network Payments Call. My name is Catherine Jett, and I'll be your moderator for today's call. Next slide, please. We're going to go over a few logistics before we go over the agenda and get the call started. This call is being recorded and transcribed. Now, participants are not permitted to record this meeting nor capture the transcript per the Ticket Program Agreement, Part 3, Section 11, Subsection I. And staff are not permitted to record this meeting or capture the transcript. Now, post-call items from today's call will be available. That's going to be your PowerPoint presentation, the transcript, the recap, and the audio recording. That's going to be available post-call on the Your Ticket to Work website in a few weeks. Now, during the Q&A session today, going to have an interactive Q&A. The chat is disabled, but all questions will be able to be asked aloud. So if you're joining via the phone and you wish to ask a question, you'll just raise your hand utilizing star 5. You'll be unmuted by the facilitator. Then you'll press star 6 to unmute yourself. Now, if joining on the MS Teams application, you'll just click the raised hand icon and the facilitator will provide the access to your audio and or your video if you choose. Next slide, please. Now, during our Q&A session, just please ask one question at a time as you're called upon by the facilitator and ask questions regarding the topics discussed on the call today. Any additional questions or comments can be sent to EM Payments Help Desk at ssa.gov. We do have closed captioning available for participants who wish to join using closed captions. If you'll just click on the more at the very top of the screen, and then click language and speech, and then turn on live captions. Now, if you have the link from the Gov delivery message for the closed captions, just paste the link in the browser and it's going to open up a separate window for the closed captions. Next slide, please. And now we'll go over today's agenda. So we have the April ePay file statistics, ePay reminders, payments help desk reminders, payroll information exchange, question review, tips for using the monthly earnings estimator tool, ticket portal best practices, resources, the question and answer session, and the closing remarks. Next slide, please. At this time, I would like to welcome the EM Payments Manager, your presenter for today, Nicole Black. Take it away, Nicole.
Thank you, Catherine. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us for our August All EM Payments call. We'll start with the April ePay file stats. The last ePay file was completed in April of this year, and the total claims paid was 10,256. The total SSNs paid was 3,098. The total amount paid was $5,668,600, and SSA has started processing the July 2025 ePay file. Next slide, please. Some ePay reminders for this current ePay file. Phase 1, Milestone 4, is paid via ePay, but ENs must still submit payment requests for Phase 1, Milestones 1 through 3 through the ticket portal with proof of relationship. Unassigned tickets are not included in ePay, and ENs must have passed their annual service and supports review. The ePay file is processed in SSN order, not in provider ID order. And Phase 1, Milestone 4, Phase 2 milestones and outcomes are paid via ePay. ENs are encouraged not to submit for these payment types via the portal without submitting evidence of earnings when the EN portion of the ePay file is being processed. Submitting for such payment does slow down processing and causes duplicate claim months. Next slide, please. Please allow TPM to pay all available claims via ePay before requesting payment via the ticket portal. An initial PII violation will remove the EN from ePay for 3 months or one ePay file. During this time, the EN must submit payment requests via the ticket portal. For example, if an EN violates the PII rule while a file is currently being processed, they will be removed from the next ePay file. So for instance, if an ePay violation takes place in February, they would be removed from the April ePay file. Next slide, please. Transitioning to payment help desk reminders. For payment inquiries, all communication regarding ticket holders and employment networks must be with suitable EN staff, that's your approved portal users, program contacts, and signatory authorities, PII or personally identifiable information. If an EN needs to submit PII, the submission must be done via fax or mail. ENs must not send PII via email. ENs should also use the SSA reference number when emailing payment inquiries to the payments help desk. Next slide, please. We're going to cover the questions regarding the payroll information exchange that were brought up on the All EN call a few months ago. And with these questions, I will go over what was asked and provide the SSA response to those. Start at the top. Will the payroll information exchange be able to distinguish between the paid date and pay periods? Yes. Each report will contain the paid date. We are not guaranteed to receive the pay period start and end dates or the start of work date, but most employers do report this information. The second question is, will ENs have access to PIE in any form to confirm wage information during any of the 5-year ticket participation? Since we have a contract with Equifax, we won't be able to share actual PIE wage information. The BPQI currently shows verified wages from the SSI record and the SGA months for SSDI. We are unable to disclose the source of earnings on the BPQI. The third question is, will the ENs have access to PIE to help with getting pay statements? The contract does not allow us to share PIE data. Next slide, please. The next question is, how does PIE capture self-employed ticket holders' wage information? PIE does not capture self-employment wage data. The next question, 5, is with the PIE program, will SSA be accepting wages from 1099 or contractor positions? If so, can ENs submit those types of pay stubs to TPM when requesting payments? No, PIE will only share employer-employee relationship wage data. The 1099 requires the individual to file a self-employed tax return. Question 6 was, will the PIE function help to validate earnings that can reduce or eliminate EN overpayments? We will continue to use available resources to do our best to integrate data to reduce the risk of over and underpayments to beneficiaries and service providers. So just to bring everything, to wrap everything up for you guys with the PIE information, when the recap for this call is sent out, there will also be the links available that are the public-facing FAQs for the payroll information exchange available to you all so that you can take a deeper dive and use those additional resources to answer any additional questions you may have. Next slide, please. Okay, now we're going to debut the monthly earnings estimator tool preview update. So many of you may be familiar with our monthly earnings estimator that is located on the Your Ticket to Work website. But what the purpose of the next few slides is to try to simplify the use and make it more of a resource to you so that you can use it when you are trying to assess which possible claim months are available to you when you are making your payment request. So what this tool does, it calculates total income. So the tool calculates your total income as either earned in the month or paid in the month. And once that income is calculated, it maps it. So it compares the calculated monthly income that has been entered against the earnings levels that have been designated by SSA as trial work level or substantial gainful activity or blind substantial gainful activity. Something to note when you are entering any information is that the beneficiary SSN at the top and the beneficiary name, you're probably thinking that's PII. You're right, it is. This tool is specifically for your internal use only as an employment network. It is not designed or to be used for sharing. So if you do not need to use or enter that information, that is your choice. Like I said, this is a resource for you to use internally at your employment network. Next slide, please. You can look at the next steps here on how to complete the estimator tool tab as somewhat of a checklist to make sure that you're entering all of the information necessary to make this tool give you the information you need to make your payment request. So one of the first things you'll do is enter your pay stub data for the ticket holder. And then you're going to make note of the duration of the pay stub data. It's important to make sure that the duration of the pay stubs is 31 days or less because the tool will not accept anything that exceeds 31 days. The accepted pay frequencies that the tool will accept are daily, weekly, biweekly, twice a month, and monthly pay stubs. It also allows you the opportunity to enter the data if the ticket holder happens to have multiple jobs. So you can enter the pay stubs that have overlapping or duplicate date ranges to accommodate these situations. And the most important thing I can share with you as you're entering the data on this tab is to use the date format that is shown in the yellow box with the two-digit month, two-digit day, and four-digit year. If you try to put the information in differently, you will receive an error because this format cannot be altered. Another thing for you to make note of when you're looking at this example here that covers the pay periods from November 2024 through January 2025. After the data has been entered, you look under the possible claim months. It shows you that your possible claim months with what you have entered here range from November 2024 through January 2025. And it also breaks down what your earnings levels are for either a Title II or a Title 16 ticket holder. And on the next few slides, we'll break this down even further using the same example. Next slide, please. So you've entered your pay stub data, and we are now assessing the information using the earnings breakup tab. So we are initially going to look at our SSDI ticket to Title II ticket holders, tongue twister, which is based on when earned. The earnings are allocated to the specific months based on when they were actually earned by that ticket holder. So from the example that we used, there were five pay periods. For November 2024, column E, you can see that the ticket holder had earnings above trial work level. For December 2024, you'll see that the ticket holder in this scenario had earnings that are above SGA. And then for January 2025, you can see that there are not enough earnings sufficient to request a payment. Another thing to be mindful of as you're entering data and using the data to determine what pay stubs need to be submitted, take a look at the pay date for December 13th, 2024, and you can also look at January 10th, 2025. both of those pay periods or those pay stubs lap over into 2 months, November and December, which is seen in columns E and F. When you submit that pay stub to us, you only need to submit it one time because, as you can see here, the system will designate that that pay stub for that ticket holder that was received on December 13th takes into account earnings for two separate months. Next slide, please. Now we're looking at those monthly allocations at the bottom, the total earnings. You want to verify that the monthly allocation that has been distributed throughout the spreadsheet is enough to align with the designated levels of trial work level and SGA. And then your claim months are also noted there. This notes which month has sufficient earnings to potentially request a payment that is based on SSA guidelines. And this example, again, is for your Title II SSDI beneficiaries based on when earned. Next slide, please. We're still using the same earnings. However, we're now using these earnings for ticket holders who are SSI or Title 16. And this is based on when paid. So the earnings are allocated to specific months based on when the ticket holder is paid. So again, the exact same pay periods, but you will see that the earnings are allocated differently, which will give you different claim months that you're eligible for. So for November 2024, and for your Title 16 ticket holders, there's not enough earnings present to request a payment. However, for December 2024, there are enough earnings that are above trial work level. And in January, the earnings are also above trial work level. And just like with the SSDI or Title II ticket holder, those same pay periods, they are treated differently. You see that there's no overlapping here. So it's very important when you're using the spreadsheet to make sure that you are using the correct segment to identify the earnings for your Title II or your Title 16 ticket holders. Next slide, please. Again, the key points here for the monthly allocations are you want to verify that the monthly allocation of earnings are there to ensure that they align with the designated levels of TWL and SGA, and make note of which months have sufficient earnings to potentially request the payment based on SSA guidelines. Next slide, please. So some key points just to remember for using the tool overall. The accurate claims. So by mapping the earnings correctly, the tool will assist in identifying the appropriate months for requesting payments. And it also provides a detailed assessment for a clear view of which months have sufficient earnings for these potential claims. This tool will assist in making payment requests using the correct attainment month based on the earnings that are received from the ticket holders. Please note, and this one's a big one, the earnings breakdown for your SSI or your Title 16 ticket holders is located on the far right of the spreadsheet starting at column X. So when you do open this spreadsheet up and you're using it from the website, you'll want to make sure when you enter your data that you scroll over to column X, where you can see the information specifically regarding your Title 16 ticket holders. Next slide, please. I'm sorry, Rose, we'd go back one. I wanted to make one additional comment. Thank you. Just as an FYI for all of you, like we said, this is a preview. And when the updated monthly earnings estimator tool is made available, we will send out a Gov delivery so that you all know that the tool has been updated and is ready to use. All right, next slide. So ticket portal best practice as it relates to submitting evidence of earnings. Please make sure that the box checked proof of earnings will be faxed in is checked when you're faxing in evidence of earnings when you're making a payment request. This will ensure that the payment request will automatically go into diary for 9 business days. If the evidence of earnings is not received in 9 business days, the payment request may be denied. If this step is missed, the payment request will automatically go into the queue for immediate processing. And you can see here on the graphic, the box does have to be done, selected manually, and is at the very bottom on the right-hand side of the screen. Next slide, please. Our resources. So to reach us by phone, we're available Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern, toll-free at 866-949-3687. Or TTY at 866-833-2967. Option 1 is for the Beneficiary Help Desk. Option 2 is for the EN Payments Help Desk. And Option 3 is for the Systems Help Desk. And for Gov Deliveries, please be sure to save the email address to your safe senders list so that these messages do not go into your spam or junk email boxes. And that email address is tickettowork@subscriptions.ssa.gov. If you'd like to reach us by email for payment issues, please email enpaymentshelpdesk@ssa.gov. And for questions and issues related to ticket assignment, the service provider website, and the ticket portal, please email ensystemshelp@ssa.gov. Next slide, please. As a reminder, payment topics. We invite you to share topics that you would be interested in discussing through this forum. Our goal is to help educate you and provide clarification on processes and procedures related to payment. Please send your topics to the EN Payments Help Desk at enpaymentshelpdesk@ssa.gov. Next slide, please. It is time to transition to our question and answer session. Next slide. If you are asking by phone, raise your hand by pressing star 5 on your phone, and you will be unmuted by the facilitator. Then you will press star 6 to unmute yourself. If you are asking your question through Microsoft Teams, raise your hand, and you will be unmuted by the facilitator. You will need to click the microphone to unmute yourself. Shaylin, do we have any questions?
Yes, we have Alyssa. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like and ask your question.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Alyssa Tees. I am with GenX. I oversee the Ticket to Work program. So we have several ticket holders, more than 10, actually, three of whom are 1099s. They were continuing to get their monthly benefits past the point where they should have been suspended. So we worked to help get the benefits suspended to mitigate or avoid overpayment. So we were successful in doing so, but unfortunately, Social Security, when they suspended the cash benefit, it was coded as not due to work or earnings, which is incorrect. And we have put a lot of time to get this corrected with the field office, with EN payments. We escalated to RCD and no action has been taken. So I guess the question is, my concern is twofold. Obviously, one, that our ticket holders are not getting the services that they're entitled to from us in trying to avoid overpayments, as well as not getting the protections that they're entitled to during the extended period of eligibility in the event that they need their benefits reinstated. I actually have one ticket holder now who needs her benefits reinstated, and they're denying her because she's coded as suspended as not due to work and earnings when that is incorrect. And obviously, the most, where it relates to this call, we as an employment network are unable to invoice as long as the suspension codes are incorrect. And we're just sort of like at the end of our rope, not knowing where else to go. So I'm requesting any assistance or any recommendations that might help us in getting this issue corrected.
Thank you for your comment and your question, Alyssa. the thing that you should be doing, you are doing, is you're reaching out to your field office. The next step would be to look up to see who your AWIC is and see if your AWIC can afford you some additional resources or assistance to get the issue corrected for your ticket holder.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And Jalen, who do we have for our next question?
Yes, we have Amber Star. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like and ask your question.
Thank you so much. Amber Star here with Career Source Brevard Flagler Volusia. And I do have two separate questions. The first question I would like to ask has to do with the requirement for requesting payments for phase one milestones 1 through 3 inside of the ticket portal. If we do not request that payment through the ticket portal, does that mean it will never ever get paid? Like if we end up in, say, milestone 4 or beyond, will those automatically get sent or will we just not receive them?
Thank you, Amber Star, for your question. So I would like to clarify, are you a traditional EN?
We're a workforce EN.
Okay, so workforce ENs are handled a bit differently. And that is something that will be addressed for all of your cases via ePay. So if you have something specific you would like me to review, my recommendation is send a reference number to the payment help desk.
It's not specific. It's a general, kind of like shadowing. So I'm kind of new to the program. And I was having this discussion with my internal trainer, someone who's been doing it for a long time. And so he just wanted me to get clarification on that. So if there's not a general response, then maybe I could just reach out directly to my program manager that's assigned to us and inquire more on that.
You can do that, or you can, like I said, reach out to the EN Payments Help Desk, and I can reply to you via email or have a separate conversation with you to give you additional insight on exactly how that process works for the workforce ENs.
Okay, thank you.
And give me the name of your workforce EN one more time, because I have your first name, but don't have the name of the workforce EN, also follow up. I'm ready.
It's Career Source Brevard Flagler Volusia.
Career Source Brevard
Flagler Volusia. You may have us as Brevard Workforce Development Board. My bad.
No worries. Workforce Development Board. Got it. I'll follow up.
Okay. My second question is regarding the tool. And so that estimator tool that was shown, is that only during trial work period, or does it go beyond and then end up taking into consideration any additional incentives like ERWIs or the student exclusion, those sorts of things?
Excellent question. So just to restate it, your question is, does this only take into account trial work level, or does it look at earnings beyond trial work level? And then does it also take into consideration any other type of incentives such as ERWIs or anything else that the ticket holders have as they are trying to acclimate themselves back into full-time work? Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So the tool is specifically used for the ENs to request payments, and it does take into account trial work level earnings and SGA earnings, but it does not take into account anything related to benefits for ticket holders. It's only a resource to be used for you specifically to be when you're trying to request a payment. That's it.
Thank you so much.
Did that help? Did that clear it up?
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. And Jalen, who do we have next?
Yes, we have Samantha. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Yes, hi. I wanted to just verify for concurrent beneficiaries if we can submit under either benefit for payment.
Hi, Samantha. Thank you for your question. So just to restate it, your question is for concurrent ticket holders, are you able to submit a payment request under either of the earnings levels, either for SSI or SSDI? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, ma'am. If you have enough earnings, go ahead and send it in and we will address or assess that specific case to see the best way to be able to make that payment for you if all other payment criteria are met.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Angelina. Your audio and video are active. Please click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? So my question is kind of piggybacking on Samantha's, not planned, of course, is if there's a concurrent beneficiary at the time of assignment and then the beneficiary then transitions to SSDI only, are ENs still able to capture payments based off of either kind of pathway, whether SSDI or SSI?
My recommendation for your concurrent, I'm sorry, let me restate your question just to make sure. Your question is if you start receiving payments under one entitlement and that entitlement ceases, can you still request payments under the secondary entitlement that is still applicable? Is that correct?
Sort of.
Help me out.
Sorry. It's more so that the SSI record has, I guess, formally terminated because the SSDI amount has increased.
Okay.
And then I guess in the situation, to kind of give like an example, is that there was payment based off of paid date, which is the SSI method, and now requesting new payments and are being told that we can only look at SSDI because that's what the current benefit is, not what the benefit was at the time of assignment.
Okay. And I was going to follow up what this does sound like it's case specific. So this is one that I would ask that you reach out to the payment help desk with that reference number and ask them to forward it to me and I can take a look at it and I can give you a more concise reply based on that specific situation.
Will do, and thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
Yeah, we have Justin. Your audio and video are active. Please unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So this is a question. I assume everyone can hear me. I think my audio is usually clear.
Yes, we hear you, Justin.
This is something that I feel like most ENs and benefits counselors can attest to when someone enrolls in their program is not necessarily clear knowledge on whether the person has SSI or a Title II benefit. Is there any way, for the sake of the payment request system, knowing that you have to request either based on the earnings or the date that they earned it, right? Is there any way that something like an automated BPQY could be automatically sent to the EN upon enrollment so that we can actually have an accurate accurate knowledge on whether the person has SSI and SSDI or concurrent with both? Is that a possibility?
Thank you for your question, Justin. So just to restate it, your request is there an opportunity for a BPQI to be automatically generated when a ticket holder starts working with an EN?
Correct. Yeah, either be sent to the beneficiary themselves or sent to the EN. I guess it would make more sense to be sent to the beneficiary.
Okay, so just in the world we live in today, they have to be requested, as you know. but that is something that SSA is on, and they've heard your request, and I'll make note of it, and we will see if we can put it in our giant wish list, see if maybe one day that'll happen.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
We have Sandra. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Thank you. Are you there, Miss Sandra? All right, Jalen, let's move on to the next question and we can circle back to Miss Sandra.
Hey, we have Jenny. Your audio and video are now active. If you'd like to unmute and activate video to ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Okay, good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. So I have a question in regard to the earnings estimator, the calculator. Does it take into consideration the 18-month look-back tool if the client has earnings prior to ticket assignment for SSDI specifically?
Thank you for your question. So the tool, the tools are actually two separate tools. You only want to use the monthly earnings estimator when you are trying to ascertain what your potential claim months are. That's it. So you're looking at it for requesting the payments only. Did that help?
Yes, very much so. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. You're welcome. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
I circled back to Sandra, if you'd like to try unmuting. It is showing she's off mute.
All right. We will circle back again. Let's move on to the next question.
Okay, we have Ray. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Nicole. I have a simple question regarding the tool. Would it be possible to remove or disable the pop-ups on the monthly earnings estimator, because it always gets in the way?
For the year-to-date format is what you're asking?
Yeah, the beginning date, end date, pay period, and, you know, every time you hover over or click, there's a pop-up always, like, right next to it. Sometimes it's difficult to copy and paste or see where you are trying to copy and paste.
I would say we could take that into consideration, but I do feel like just for all ENs in general, having that pop-up there with the specific format is helpful as a reminder of what the format must be in order to make the tool work.
Could it be relocated, like where it's not just right there next to the cursor or where you're typing?
We can take that under consideration with our developers and see if that can happen, but I can't make any promises. We'll definitely look into it.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. All right, Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Ruchi. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hello, thank you so much. So my question is kind of similar to Samantha and Angelina. It's regarding concurrent beneficiaries. So if someone starts with Title 16 with the SSI only, and then we receive a payment based on that, but then they become concurrent, due to their SSDI eligibility, we just want to verify that we continue to receive payments based on the Title 16. Is that correct? And then if that is so, are we eligible for up to 60 payments?
So that is also a case-specific question. It depends on the situation with that ticket holder and their current entitlement status when we are reviewing the payment at that time. So if you have one that you would like me to review that I can give you more clarity on, please send that to the payment help desk with the reference number and ask them to forward it to me. And I will most definitely take a look and then be able to get back with you with the specifics of that situation.
Thanks, Nicole. I was wondering, is there any place that I can kind of look at what those, you know, specifically, like, you know, maybe it has something to do with SGA or whatever those scenarios may be where the payment is possible or it's going to revert to SSDI? Is there some place that I can look at this read for myself? Because we don't have anything specifically, but this question often comes up and, you know, we don't know which way to go or what we're going to get paid.
So, honestly, it is always going to be case specific depending on the ticket holder that you're working with at that time and what their entitlement status is and what's going on with them as an individual. So, you know, like I said, you'll send this one to me. I'll take a look at it. But whenever you come across something that is just not making sense to you when it comes to the communications you're having with your ticket holder, mm-hmm. reach out to the payment help desk and ask me to take a look at it. And I'll be more than happy to do that for you.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you so much, Nicole.
You're welcome. And Jalen, who do we have next?
Next, we have Paul. Your audio and video are active. I'm sorry. It was Paul. Next is now John. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
John, I think you're still muted. All right, we will circle back to John. Who do we have next?
Next, we have Sandra again, if you'd like to try to unmute or activate video to ask your question.
Sandra, it looks like you're still muted. There it goes. But we cannot hear you. All right, we will circle back to Ms. Sandra. Ms. Sandra, what you can also do is send your email to the payment help desk for what your question is, and then I'll be sure to get back to you with your answer. Do we have any additional questions from anyone?
I don't see any other raised hands at the moment.
All right, we'll give it a few more seconds to see if anyone has anything that pops up that they'd like to address today. But again, if you're on the phone, you can raise your hand by pressing *5 and you'll be unmuted by the facilitator. And then you can press *6 to actually unmute yourself. And if you are on Teams, use the raise your hand icon. You'll be unmuted, but you will need to click your microphone to actually unmute yourself. Jalen, who do we have?
We have Lori. Your audio and video are active. Click the microphone to unmute and activate video if you'd like to ask your question.
Hi, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how are you today?
Well, thank you.
Good. Hey, my question is just on this current e-processing. When do you anticipate it will end?
The e-pay process, the timing varies. So I cannot give you a solid answer on that right now, but it typically can last anywhere up to 3 to 4 weeks. When
That's
we are complete, Yeah, when we do get it completed, we will definitely send out a gov delivery to alert you all and let you know that you can resume your normal payment request.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other questions? We've got about 15 minutes left. Okay, well, we will transition on to the next slide and I will turn it back over to Catherine.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you again for providing the informative updates. Now, looking ahead, the next All-In Payments call is scheduled for Tuesday, November 4th from 1 to 2 p.m. And we would like to say from the Social Security Administration and the Ticket Program Manager team, thank you for joining today's call. We'll see everyone again on November 4th. Have a great day. And this call is now concluded.